the Amahatter. Praise God. Praise God. Praise His holy name today. Hallelujah. That song, the second one we sang there, Down From His Glory, man, that takes me back, brother, sister. That when I first started coming to church and hearing about the word of the Lord, and we had that one memorized, that's for sure. And that's one of those where you think, well, this song's pretty low, and then you realize, no, this song's pretty high. I've realized, you know, when you worship the Lord, that's why we close our eyes. It's just something you can't even wrap your mind around to think the great Creator became my Savior. And I'm here to, and I know Him. I know Him personally. He's not something out there in the clouds. He's not something I talk to Him. He talks back to me. I have fellowship with Him. And knowing the wretch that I am, and not even the rest that I was, you know, I thank God for His grace, but still the wretch that I am, the times I'm still messed up, still, and He still invites me to fellowship with Him. He's worthy of praise, brother, sister. He's worthy of honor. He's worth us pouring our hearts out to Him and just loving on Him. Amen. Well, God bless y'all. We got, what's your name, guys?
Aaron.
Aaron. Well, that made it easy. What about your little one?
Elena.
Well, it's good to have his little one. My girl's
name is
Wyatt. Oh, okay. Oh, well, there you go. There now, brother and brother-in-law. All right. We'll figure that one out. That's about as clear as mud. No, I'm just kidding. It's good to have y'all with us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and feel welcome. I know I had said something a few weeks ago about praying about if the Lord would give us a new building or not, or expand or something. But you know, I might look and feel logic and things, but brother, sister, I'm not looking for that. You need a revelation. I really believe that. I believe with anything in life, really. You got to, because things can look mighty good, I don't mean to preach in this preliminary here, but you know, David one time had the right idea. We need to get the word back in Israel, and he went and logically thought about it, asked some brothers, and they said, yeah, that's a good idea. And sure enough, somebody got killed over it. So logic ain't going to help, but he went back to the word, got a revelation from God's prophet. And that's right there in the word. The prophet came and said, no, you did it wrong. Come back the way you're supposed to do it. And he did it the right way, and then they had church. So, amen. I don't want to do anything just logically. I want to have a revelation drop down. Just like Dad and I went and looked at, or we're going to actually look at something. Oh, it's been months now. And we got there at the time we're supposed to be there, and nobody was there. I said, well, that was enough for me, Dad. Let's go. I don't believe it. I don't believe in those haphazard things. If it's the Lord, it just, everything just lines up. I believe that with all my heart. So keep it in prayer. Until then, just keep playing church or seat in Jenga, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. Just sit somewhere and have church. Really, it's just a seat anyways. God ain't interested in where He's sitting. He's interested in where's your heart right now.
Amen.
And I come to put it on the altar of God and say, Lord, let my worship be acceptable to You. Lord, whatever You have to tell me today, I want to hear it. So while you're standing, let's open up our Bibles. We'll get right into the message today. Genesis 14. Continue on this series about Abraham. I've sure been enjoying it. Abraham, something you preach on year after year after year, I think, you know. I don't never hit the surface. There's a reason He's called the father of the faith. That's right. Genesis 14 and verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedor Laomer, and the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And understand, Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which were with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. I like to speak this afternoon with the help of the Lord. Selling out the victory. I'll say that again. Selling out the victory. So let's bow our heads before Him. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart as well. Is there a need you'd like to lift up to Him with a raised hand? Say, Lord, this hand's before you, and you know what's behind it, and I raise it in faith. Hallelujah. Look at those hands. Let's pray with all of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us together in the house of the Lord today. Knowing at this time, Lord, that we're blessed to even hunger and thirst after righteousness. But Lord, you promised that the Holy Spirit would come and we wouldn't have to thirst anymore, but you'd come and satisfy that thirst with your presence. I pray that your presence would be so saturating throughout this place that sin wouldn't have anywhere to hide, Lord, that we would just allow your Spirit to drive it out of our hearts and make us what we ought to be in you. Forgive us of our iniquities. Forgive us of our sins by your blood. And may you have leeway in our hearts, Lord. Go through our houses, go through our closets, sweep out anything that's not like you, Lord, and take it out so we can be a perfect reflection of Jesus Christ. You that know that every heart that's here, I pray you'll come and speak through my lips and meet every need that's here today, Father. And may we leave knowing that we've heard from God. Take preeminence over the service, Lord. May everything said or done bring you glory. We commit it now to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Been going through Abram. We're still not to Abraham just yet, but we're getting close. But he's still Abram now, and he's still a possessor, as we know there. Well, an inheritor is what I really should say. God is the one who possessed heavens and earth, but look, it didn't stay just in his hands. You can go find it out in Romans 4, or I think it's 4, somewhere around 13 or so. It says, Abram, who was the inheritor of the earth, brother, sister, that he would inherit the old world, and not just himself, but his seed would inherit it as well. I love thinking of the picture that God made the heavens and the earth, but he wasn't selfish like so many people think he is. He's the epitome of generosity, brother, sister. Our breathing right now is God's generosity. Our ability to see and to hear and just to live is God's generosity to us, and we ought to be thankful, brother, sister. Amen. But not only did God possess heavens and earth, but he said, I've got a son down there, and you know what? I'm going to give it to him. Why? It's his inheritance. Why did God give it to Abram? Because that was his son. Amen. And any good father, you know what you're going to do with. If you would pass, you're not just going to leave your stuff to go to the wayside. If you got a son or a daughter, you give it to them. It don't matter if they're a renegade. It don't matter if they're up, down, left, and right. They're the ones that's going to inherit it. Why? Because that's who they are. Amen. And brother, sister, God's not looking for you and me to get good enough. He's not looking for you and me because, look, you ain't good enough. You are bad. We just read here about Abram. Go back a few chapters. You realize Abram was a pretty bad guy. Woo, didn't like that, but it's the truth anyhow. Look, nobody's saved but by grace. Amen. Amen. We've all come short of the glory of God, and that included our father Abraham. Amen. When he was Abram, he was out there yellow-bellied, scared to death of a little trial came his way. Then the little trials we went, and I'm trying not to preach all that. You can go listen to those sermons, but the little trial he even went through was his own dumb fault. If he just would have obeyed the word of the Lord and got rid of Lot and went the way he was supposed to, he never would have gotten no famine. But he got himself into trouble, and then he was in a famine. He was stuck in Egypt. And what does he do? Oh, I'm scared down here. I'm not. And he goes to sell off his own wife. Yeah. Hallelujah. And man, I'll tell you what, this must have been one pretty girl because the king caught an eye on her. Right. Hallelujah. He said, tell him you're my brother. And he said, all right, I will. Look, and there's a lesson for us wives, isn't there? I say us wives, but you understand. I'm not a woman. But that's a lesson in obedience, brother, sister. Yes, it is. You don't matter if you understand or not. You ought to obey your husband. As long as you don't tell you to do something that's outside of this word, you ought to obey him. You don't get too many amens in this day on that, but you don't get too many men who's worth obeying. We'll just call it what it is. That's all right. But we live in the end time. In the end time, everything's falling apart. We ought to be the only example left of what this Bible says a husband and a wife and a family and a home and a church is supposed to be, brother, sister. It ought to be you and I. And I don't care if there's two people believe it. If those two people are on the Word of God, they're right and everyone else is wrong. Don't tell me majorities matter. I don't care if we voted in or out. That doesn't have anything to do with it. They had two kings in Israel. They had one in Judah and one in Israel sitting on thrones telling everybody what we were going to do. They got 400 prophets out there all prophesying the same thing. But guess what? All of them wrong. And one little backwoods prophet out there that nobody wanted to deal with no more, already done been kicked out of the church, already caused too much problems because he wouldn't just go with the flow with what everyone was saying, with what the pastor was telling him. And brother, sister, if I get off the word, you leave me. That's right. This ain't a church thing. This ain't a denominational thing. This is either you're a believer or you're not. Amen. That's right. And it got down to Micah, the son of Imla, and they got down there, and I loved the little servant boy. He knew what was going on. He knew that this guy's caused trouble before, and I'm sure he was stewing the whole way down. Go read the story. Stewing the whole way down. Man, how am I going to? I got to convince him to come, because I'm going to get in trouble if we don't get him back. And, but if he comes back, he's going to start trouble all over again. He's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And finally he gets down there and he says, Micaiah, look, we got a good deal going for you. It's a good deal. Just stick with me here. I know they kicked you out, but look, I got a good proposition. All you got to do is just say what everybody else is saying.
That's right.
All you got to do is just not step on nobody's toes. And as long as you avoid all their toes, actually, you can step on everybody's toes, but the people I want you to not step on.
Right.
You can preach about everyone's sin as long as it ain't mine.
Sure.
I've learned, you know what? Just about everybody loves hard preaching as long as they ain't doing it. You know, I don't trust anybody homosexual or not, but I'm sure what, if I start preaching on it, we just blast all day. Woo, yeah, that's right, that's wrong. And you know what? It is wrong by the Bible. But when it's all said and done, you lying, cheating, stealing is just as bad.
That's right.
God ain't no respecter of persons. You either a sinner or you're a saint, brother, sister. And I'm not here to just gloat about preaching against sin. I want to be right. That's why sin needs to be preached against, because we need to get it out of our hearts and our lives, because that's the thing that'll kill us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what about killed all Israel at the time. Wasn't for Imla, Micaiah, they probably all would have died. Hallelujah. But Micaiah got down there. He says, I'm going to say what the Lord tells me to say. And he went there, and you know what? He got in front of the king, right in the president's house, with Putin in there as well. Come on. That's what it was like. Standing before him and says, you're all a bunch of renegades. At first he said, go ahead, go up. Oh, and I just love Ahab. You go read the story. Ahab, you always tell me what's right in the name of the Lord. And just lying through his teeth. He hates this guy. But the second, I've learned this for sure. They might hate your guts, but you start saying good about him, all of a sudden you're the best guy in the world. Look, truth is truth. It's either all, there ain't no point in compromising. And they said, go on up and prosper, because I saw Israel scatter like sheep. And then somebody said, go on home. See, you got the wrong part of the victory. The victory was fine. We can go home and quit this war. And then he said, don't I tell you that he always prophesies against me and all these things? And I believe that's what saved Jehoshaphat's life, just for anybody who might know the story. They ended up getting to war and everybody started dying left and right because he told them they were going to. But Jehoshaphat always knew in the back of his head, I remember what that prophet said about this. So I'm not surprised at all that we're losing this battle. And the Bible says when he was about to get killed because he thought that he was the king of Israel, he cried mightily unto the Lord. And God spared him. And brother, sister, you might have got yourself in the biggest mess and the biggest backslid condition you could ever have been in. But I'm here to tell you, you got one thing to do. Quit trying to fight this losing battle. Cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, get me out of this mess. I don't know what else to do. And you know what? He'll get there. You might reap. You might have a hard time. You might be in God's permissive will the rest of your days. But it's sure better than being completely out of His will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, well, that was all good, right? Hallelujah. This word is beautiful, brother, sister. And I'm here to tell you before we get any further, if you think there's something else better in the world, you've never fed, you've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You can't eat this like you would the newspaper. You gotta, once you get in the Spirit of God, and then you read this, you begin to see things, as the Bible says, kings and prophets have desired to see, and God just says, here you go. Glory! Blessed are your eyes for the things you see. Praise His holy name. So Abram here, as we come back, he had just gone down as a preached on Wednesday and saved his backslid brother out of the mess he got in. Isn't that right? Intercessory prayer. And I believe that with all my heart, brother, sister. You got loved ones saved or lost and they need saved. You're the one. You're the one to get on your knees and pray for them. That's why they're on your heart. I don't care if you know them or not. You need to pray for them. Right, because I've prayed for people just going down the road sometimes. Say, man, that guy just looks like he's got a need. I'll probably never see him again in my life, but God will remember what I said today. Why? I've recognized what I am. I'm not just some man walking around in life hoping for the best. I'm a son of God. And I've been given dominion. Grace has come to me, taking away what I used to be, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I've been given a responsibility, brother, sister. You've been given a responsibility to preach the Word.
Amen.
To be a light in a dark place, to be the salt of the earth, to make others thirst for righteousness. Abram had just saved Lot out of this mess. He only did it with 300 men. I like to see what that looked like. He took down five kings. Quit exalting the kings and exalt what God gave you. That's right. That's why you don't win battles too many times. You're sitting there just exalting the devil so much, you never even recognize that you got plenty to win this thing. I believe that. And God might even have came back and did that in the days of Gideon. He says, look, I only need 300, man. Didn't I show you back in your father Abraham? I wiped out five kings with him. And Gideon brought thousands and thousands and thousands, thinking, well, you know, God might need my help a little bit. God might need my reasoning. He don't need your reasoning. He needs your obedience. He needs your faith. He needs your undying devotion to what He said. Amen. Amen. And that's what Abram went on. He didn't fight the battle. He went in the name of the Lord. He says, I've lifted up my hand to God. Who? The possessor of heaven and earth.
Yes, sir.
Not just haphazard God, not the wind, not something I don't know. I'm talking to the one that owns this place. And the ones that owns this place knows that I want my brother saved, and I'm tired of seeing him out there.
Sure. Amen.
I'm going in the name of the Lord. Amen. And you know what? It prospered, brother, sister. That's right. And he wiped out the enemy. He comes back, and who does he meet on the way back? Two kings. And this is where we're going to get into what we're talking about today. Abram had gained the victory over sin in this state, in this situation. He had fought the good fight of faith and had come out on top. Amen. He had a possession given to him, brother, sister. And I'm here, before I get any further into actually preaching this, you've got to have victory before you can give it anywhere.
Yes.
If you ain't got victory, don't worry. There ain't nobody else going to get any either. Hallelujah. And Abram was a rich man, naturally and spiritually, but look, that's just another lesson all in itself. The Bible says he was very rich.
Yes.
He was very rich in cattle. But you show me one time he put any stock in it. You show me one time he thought, well, good thing I got enough money, I'll be able to do this. No, he still lifted up his hands to God and said, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. And see, that's why riches aren't the devil by themselves, but man, it's a snare. Man, it can be a snare. And it's for both. As Brother Bram says, he says it's not for those that have, but also for those that don't. What we need to do is what Paul said, be content with whatever you have. And if you got a, I was even telling my wife here, yeah, we've been a little bit better off than normal, but we got to start learning to be poor again, because we're going to get poor if we don't stop it. I think you've all been there before, feeling pretty good. And then what happens? Anytime you get any sort of self-sufficiency, we're Christians, brother, sister, God's our Father, He will do something to just tear that out. We ain't going to heaven to be self-sufficient. We're going to heaven to be the one that we need to be with. And that's the Lord Jesus. And I don't need Him just half the time. I need Him for all eternity. Or I'm going to mess this all up. Glory to God. Because Jesus in Luke 12. Let's turn there. We'll take a little time here. Luke 12. Are you going to give me some time? Not going to shut me out after a few minutes? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Luke 12:15. Let's start at 15. And he said unto him, praise the Lord. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns, and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. See, brother, sister, we are called actually to be rich. We're called to be so rich that you're overflowing.
Yes.
We're called to be so abundantly. The Bible says when we ask things that God can do abundantly, exceedingly more than anything you could ever ask or think. And yet the same God said, ask freely that your joys might be full. We're supposed to be overflowing with coffers of the power and riches and pleasures of God.
Amen.
Now, could God bless you financially? Of course He does. He does. There ain't a person here who can't say God ain't bless you financially at some point. There ain't no time where you, like I said, you made a train wreck of things and God come on the scene and fix those things up. As James says, he says, when you see somebody in need, you can't just say, just go have faith. There's a time where you got to knock down and say, look, you're cold. What's warm you up? You know, you're hungry. Here's some food. I mean, there's times to do that. And there's also times where you got to ignore all that and just have plain faith. It just depends on what the situation is. But here's a man who had many things laid up, but he had them on the wrong spot, brother, sister. He had laid them on this earth. And brother, sister, as long as you lay it down here, it's going to corrode and go bad and be gone one of these days. Like Brother Branham, I just heard him preaching about it. He said he met a cattle rancher who said he was just talking about him, just fellowshipping and things. He says, Brother Branham, look over there. You see that mountain over there? He says, yeah, I see it. He says, I own claim plumb past that all around this way, you know, all this. And he said, well, that's all right, brother. But how much you own this way? And he says, not very much. I say, I think we need to make a new investment. Why? Because what's going to happen? And really, I hate to break to anybody here, if you think you own anything, you don't own a thing. Second the government wants to, they're going to take it from you. That's right. I don't care. You paid off all you want. Why are you paying property tax? I thought you owned it. You don't. They do. And I don't even know who they are anymore. Because they don't think they own it. It's the government who... But I thought that was people. But it's not people. It's just some machine that's behind the scene. But we all know what's really going on. It's the devil's in control of all this. And the devil's good at smoke screens, man. He just passed the blame buck. He did it all the way from the beginning of Eden. He's still doing it today, brother, sister. The whole country could fall apart. We'd never find out who did what. And actually, it is right now. We don't know. But see, if you're putting your treasures here, that's your future. There is nowhere else to go. That goes for your job, that goes for your house, that goes for your car, that goes for anything, your money. It doesn't matter, brother, sister. Those things are falling through our fingers faster than we can hold on to them. But I'll tell you, one man that'll put his soul on the altar of God and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so rich in God that if he needs anything, he can get it right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You ain't got to wait for it. Abram saw he needed help to fight a battle. He didn't have soldiers. He had farmers. But he asked God and all of a sudden he had soldiers.
Yes.
Amen. Gideon needed to win that battle. Isn't that right? He thought he had soldiers. God said, you ain't got nothing. Let me give you some real soldiers. Let me equip them with what you need. You need the word.
Yes.
So they dropped all their swords and grabbed some ram's horns and just belted out some praise. Maybe that's what we need to do sometimes. Maybe that's why we're not getting nowhere. We can't even raise our voice to God, much less our lives. Hallelujah. Look, God wants us to be rich, brother, sister. We ain't supposed to be in spiritual poverty all the time. That ain't what Jesus meant by poor in spirit. He meant to be humble and respectful and reverent. That's poor in spirit, not up here like this. Man, I'm a big, tough guy. That's what he's talking about. He ain't saying that, you know, we ain't got no Holy Ghost no more. Blessed are you who don't have the Spirit. I mean, is that what you're trying to say? That's not what he meant at all. He wants you to be filled.
Yeah.
Filled, not just trickled it in. I mean, the cup, oh, as we said, overflowing.
Oh, man.
Where I feel so good, I hope someone else feel good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Revelation 3:17. I'm telling you, God wants us to be rich, brother, sister. Yes, he does. He wants us to prosper in all things. As it comes to Laodicean church, which we believe that we're in, and it won't be much longer until that'll be it. But it comes to Laodicean church, and you can read through 15 and things. He talks about how they're lukewarm, not hot or cold. And he comes to verse 17. He says, because thou sayest, remember the man we just read, he was saying it to himself. It was his own proclamation. That don't mean anything if God ain't behind it, brother, sister. That's the words of a man, and guess what they do? Right on the ground.
Right.
It takes the word of God to keep that word flowing.
Yes.
And you know how long that word will stay up? All eternity.
Amen.
God did it for a prophet one time. He says he let Samuel's word never fall to the ground. Glory to God. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Yes.
Before I even go on, has anybody even kept up with some of this stuff? God, I can't even have Facebook hardly anymore just because of little things on the side. It was topless day or something here? Is it today? What is this? Where women are trying to fight for equal rights, and since a man can go out without a shirt on, so can women. And it's like, there's even people I'm sure don't care a lick about God, no. A man and woman ain't the same, man.
Right, yeah, right.
Get over it. This ain't equal rights. This is just plain dumb.
Yeah, right, amen.
And we could go on about things that only men have, and we can... Who cares? That's what showed you it's the devil, because when God made them, He made them male and female. God made sure that you understood there were two different kinds He decided to make. The world says, oh no, it's all the same. No, it isn't. That's why you're crazy. That's why, I mean, I just gotta let that go. Just absolute nonsense. And then some football player can't even stand during that. How many heard this? Can't even stand during the national anthem because there's too much racism in America. Because that helps the cause. If anything, you're gonna get everybody more racist than ever before. Brother Branham warned about that with Martin Luther King back in the 60s. He says, look, I stick up for him. I understand these things aren't right. But that's not the way to go about it. And sure enough, we've had 50 years of the civil rights. And you tell me it's better now than what it was? Whoo, glory. Some of these people don't even know what racism is besides some imaginary thing in their head. Some people have experienced real racism. That's right. Yes, sir. Let's just leave that where it is. That's right. But as we keep, the world's poor, they're blind. So just don't, they're naked. But here's the thing, brothers, don't get all up in arms like I feel like I am right now because feel pity for them. They don't know it. They feel like they're being enlightened, but really they're being darkened further and further. Their minds are so perverted, they believe that the more blind they get, the more they can see. And as Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, guess where they're all heading? Into the ditch. Brother, sister, don't you never be afraid of that. Because God gave you sight. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you got sight. So I'm not afraid of no church. I'm not afraid of no internet thing or some preacher. You can't deceive me. Why? I have sight. I can see by the Spirit of God what's true or not. And you guys can say, no, we ought to go this way. Would you trust a blind man lead you around? Well, you might for a while say, well, that looks pretty good, but you've got a sense he don't know nothing about. Isn't that right? Your world of sight is a whole different world to a blind man. I'll get to the spiritual in a minute, but he leads you for a while. But I'm telling you what, the second you get close to a cliff, he says, oh, I believe this will be all right. You're going to say, ooh, I'm just going to come back here a little ways. Well, I mean, I know I could get you a new job, but you might need to lie about it. Ooh, blind man. Especially when a preacher tells you something like that. I know the Bible says you really should just stay single but I think you can go ahead and get remarried. We thank God for grace for those that have come that way. But to do it with the word sitting you right in the face, brother, sister, that's dangerous. That's right, and that goes for any of us in here, brother, sister. Anytime you know and God have mercy, and thank God He does. He said mercy on all of us. Isn't that right? We many times have that word just, you might not even say it, but it's just on every wall. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And what do? Well, it'll be all right. It won't be no big deal. And you know what you find yourself? Right in the middle of the other army. Isn't that right? Swords pointed at your neck like, well, don't know what I'm going to do now. Cry out to the Lord. You'll get out. Amen. Come back to the Word. What did God say, though? He says, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, you're naked. You don't even know it, but I've got something I want you to do. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Amen. Many people, I can't get past this because many people think God deprives us of spiritual blessings. They think God just gives us just enough crumbs to keep us moving along, and that's all He is. No, this is my Father. This is my Heavenly Father. He treats me better than any father ever could, any child at any time. And if I'm hungry, He gives me the meal I need. Glory to God. Now, you don't do what most of us do, and we want to be spiritual gluttons, where we just lay around, we don't do nothing for the kingdom, and He just keeps pouring more word, more food on the table, and we just keep sucking it down, but we don't do nothing with it. You know what happens? We get big, fat, lazy, and doughty. Can't even hardly pray no more, but man, that's a mighty good sermon. What'd you do with it? Amen. Why do we eat food? Yeah. To live. Why should we be living? To live for others. Amen. Glory to God. If that cuts hard, let it. I don't know. So don't put a chop block in the way. Just let it go right on through. Say, Lord, cut that out of me. Amen. Glory to God. See, the problem too many times, especially with unbelievers and those that you might not know the truth, is when they come to you, brother, sister, and you don't got the victory, what in the world do you think they're going to do with your doctrine? What do you think they're going to do with the church? They got no time for that. Why? Your life's preaching so loud, they don't even worry about your voices. You ought to, but see, a Christian has to recognize, you've been given a deposit into your soul. From where? Eternity. Possessing all things. Just as Abram could say, everywhere I look, this is all mine. And brother, sister, we ought to be doing the same thing. Spiritually, naturally, carnal, I don't care. You own it all.
Right.
Amen. You think the devil's going to come back and own this place? No, this is mine.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we believe that just yet, brother, sister. But look, you ought to be the source of life. You ought to be the source of Christianity for others to see and to take and to feast on, brother, sister. You ought to have enough victory that you can give it out. Come on now. That's a commandment. That's not just a suggestion. Because the Bible, I'll read it. Statue of Perfect Man, Brother Branham, he says that the Bible said, we read over here in the book of Luke, he says, virtue went out of him. That's right. If we're going to be like him, we must have virtue then. We must have it to be like him. It's the song that I ever loved in the hymns. One of the greatest was, to be like Jesus. Well, I'm going to be like Jesus. I've got to have virtue. And to pass that, it can pass forward from me to the people because virtue went out of him to the people. Virtue. And before you can let it out, you've got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us? And the check will return. Insufficient funds. See, no, there's none to draw from. Check bounced. Somebody look at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out here carrying on like a sinner. Not much virtue can be drawn from that, see? Right? Amen. Now, this is where we get to. Abram had gained the victory. And this will always happen, brother, sister. Many people don't think it does, but it happens to ministers. It happens in services all the time. Two people show up once the victory is given.
Right.
Two kings showed up right after the victory. The king of Salem, Melchizedek, and the king of Sodom. At every service, there's two going to show up. The Holy Spirit and any devil spirit that wants to come. People think the devil just takes a back seat. He attends church more than any of us. He makes sure. He's definitely here. That's right. Why? Because he knows if I can stop it here, I can get him out there. And I can get him out there. If you can't be a Christian in church, how in the world are you going to be a Christian in the world? Come on now. If you can't praise God here, you ain't going to praise him out there. You can't pray in here, you ain't going to be able to pray there. If you can't believe here, there ain't no way you're going to be able to believe out there. That's right, brother, sister, because there is a truth to strength in numbers, but you got to make sure God's behind it. But there's still two believers is better than one. Bible says it, says one will chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. What could 30 do? Come on now. See, we've got to get past this. That, Lord, I actually believe this. I actually believe I'm a son of God. I actually believe I'm a daughter of God. I actually believe the devil's a chump and I've been commissioned to whip him. Why am I sitting here depressed? I should be rich in God. I should be rich in joy, rich in love, rich in virtue. I might feel as tired as all get out. I'm going to tell you right now, brother, I'm just tired. But I got virtue, brother, sister.
Amen.
Where does it come from? The Lord God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You want some? Come have it. See, if you got a selfish Laodicean mentality, you ain't got no time for nobody else. Don't you understand? I'm barely scraping by myself, man. I barely pay my own bills. I got to pray for my family. We're so messed up. The reason you ain't getting nowhere is maybe you need to pray for somebody else for a little while. God'll take care of yours. Woo, glory. Two kings come up to Abram. King of Sodom and king of Salem. And let's go back there. Hallelujah. And Abram has to make a choice. Because it says in verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. I love it. He gave him the word. He gave him communion. Perfect type there, brother, sister. And he was priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. And said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered into thine enemies, into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And right then you recognize, Abram has placed his victory where he believes he got it from. Are you still with me or are you already checking out? See how close that... Now listen, don't be listening to them spirits. I already done caught that. Here he comes to the end of the battle.
God comes, and I believe that's who Melchizedek was. God in a physical form. You go read in the book of Hebrews, it don't make sense any other way. But it's God came in a physical form, not exactly like Jesus, because Jesus had to be born in sin and shame, born likened unto sin like we did. But Melchizedek, I mean, God, there's a body, walk into it. Why can't he do it? He did it with Adam, he did it with everyone else. You tell me who wrestled Jacob, and we'll figure out who Melchizedek was. And, all right. You can't wrestle a spirit, all right? And he wrestled him all night. So there was a man standing there. But this king comes. He says, blessed be it that's delivered the enemies into your hand, Abram. And Abram gave his tithes to this man. He gave his efforts. He gave the victory to the one he believed he got it from. And then the devil shows up. He's got a proposition. And it's exactly the same one that the devil gave to Jesus when he came before his temptation. What was it? You see all these kingdoms of the earth? I'll give all of them to you as long as you fall down and worship me. And spiritual people can look past what it says on the surface and can see what it really means. The devil, he wasn't really giving Jesus anything. He could give him these fallen kingdoms because he wanted to inherit the eternal one. Come on now. And here's the king of Sodom. What's he doing? He's not just giving a nice gesture. He's doing what Abram said he was going to do. I'm not taking a thread from you because you're going to walk out of here and say, you're the reason I won this battle. But I'm careful, as we say so many times, and we need to start applying. I'm careful to give God all the praise. Amen. Brother, sister, this is where we sell out the victory too many times. I'm not saying you didn't get it. You got it. But what did you do with it? Too many times we get healed. And what's the first thing we say? Well, good thing I took the right medicine. No. Good thing I ate the right food. No, no, no. Why? Because I'm going to tell you what. Even if it is the right medicine and the right food, without revelation from God, you never would have figured it out.
Amen.
Oh, but this doctor helped me. No, no doctor helped you at all. I'm going to tell you right now, you go to a doctor that don't have revelation, who's trusting his intellect, all he's going to do is get you on 10 pills.
Right.
But if you pray and you believe God, and say, Lord, I'm committed to you. All of a sudden, that doctor gets a revelation of what's actually wrong with you. I'm telling you, brother, sister, we're totally dependent on God's revelation to us, even when it comes to natural healing. Because there really ain't no such thing as natural healing. Because the laws of nature, if you go look it up in any science book, says everything's tending to disorder and destruction. So what in the world would fix it back up? Not natural, supernatural order. I'm the Lord that heals all thine diseases. People are sometimes too afraid to take the reproach of saying, God's the only reason I got this victory. Some people's too afraid because somebody's going to come make fun of you, aren't they? You said, come on, you know the doctor's the reason. And you've got to denounce that and say, no, I'm not taking a threat from you. I'm not taking a shoe lash. If it wasn't for God Almighty, I'd be dead somewhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How about when we get joy? Many times what happens is, well, I finally got a good night's rest. Praise the Lord. Well, you don't say praise the Lord. That's why you don't get nowhere.
Right.
And you start thinking, well, it's because I got a good night's rest. No, why'd you get a good night's rest?
Sure.
Because the Bible says He gives His beloved sleep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sure. Why do you think there's so many people drinking alcohol? Because you can't get a good night's sleep in Satan's Eden.
Right.
Unless you just kill yourself out of it and then you'll fall asleep. Isn't that right?
Right.
Hallelujah. The devil's constantly trying to get us to take the word and to sell it out to all kinds of things, brother, sister. As we just mentioned there are a few of them, but if you can make a little bit more money, a lot of times people sell out their testimony. That's right. They'll say, oh, you know, like, man, you really work good. You're really healthy for your age and all these things. And we'll say, yep, you know, I ate my Wheaties. That ain't why you're healthy. Like I said, God can lead you to those things, but if it's not for revelation, you're exalting the king of Sodom again. You're exalting science over God. And real science only supports God. That's right. Because there is times, I don't know why I can't get off this, but there's times where God gives you a revelation that you're eating the wrong thing. You know why? Because He's a lot smarter than you and I. And He knows you don't need it. So what He does, He lets you get sick. But you can keep eating it and keep eating and keep eating it. And if you don't pray, you're just going to keep making yourself sick and sick and sick and say, oh, everybody have, you know, pray for me, pray for me. Here, God, give me revelation. No, you can't eat Twinkies and drink Coke every day and feel good.
Right.
You're like, oh, man, Lord, thanks, you know. And It sounds silly, but without revelation, you never do it. You never do it. I've never seen anybody really stick a diet. I don't know. Man alive, this pulpit ain't big enough. Really stick a healthy lifestyle that didn't get a revelation about it. Praise the Lord, buddy. Brother Branham said it this way. There's three things a man, especially ministers, but really any man, sells out the word for. It's money, women, or popularity. Money, women, popularity. And I'm just going to read you a quote because he summarizes this in a few examples. He says, why are people so tossed about? 1956. I knew that usually in reading that men who gets blessed, the Lord blessed them. Remember, like we said before, it gives them the victory. Okay, the Lord blessed them just a little bit. There's about three major things that usually brings a minister back to the rut. And noticing them, one of them was money, women, and popularity, and those three things. I noticed in the scriptures, money was the prophet Balaam, who sold out his gift and on money, and when Balak offered him so much money. Many of you are acquainted with the story. Do you understand that? Balaam had a gift of God. We understand he had a contact with God, but because of money, instead of giving God the praise and saying, you know what, that's his word, that settles it, that's it, he says, well, maybe we'll go ask him again. Maybe that. I know I'm kind of bypassing that quote, but maybe it's all right if we do that. Maybe we go find another one. I know the scripture tells me that, but maybe there's another one. You know what you're doing? You're leaving Melchizedek trying to find the king of Sodom. And why? God looked past it. He knew what he was doing it for. He wanted a paycheck. Hallelujah. Now let me keep going to Samson. It was Delilah, the woman who wooed him in her lap until he gave away the secrets of the Lord to her. I don't want to spend all day, but you understand that for sure. And Saul, it was popularity. He was a prophet. The Bible said he was numbered with the prophets. And through popularity, he wanted to be big and above somebody else. He fell by this. And this is the three major causes that I see in the Bible that cause men to fall. And I asked, look at the prophet himself, brother, sister. I'm going to bring this to you in a minute. And I asked our Heavenly Father to please let me shun at all times those things, especially those three major things, and had kept a covering over them. Why? Because even the prophet recognized, even if God gives me the victory, that don't mean the devil ain't right behind him. That don't mean he can't take this and corrupt it and ruin my whole ministry. How many times did he say he went and prayed for somebody, he was about to die, got healed, he was a rich man, maybe his wife or something. The man, he said, so that man wrote me a check that would have sent me around the world the rest of my life. But I said, I don't want it. Why? Because I know what it'll do to me. It'll shun me from the kingdom of God. And brother, sister, whatever it is for you, you've got to learn that's just the devil trying to sap that victory out of you. Because as long as he can get you to think that it's anything but God, it will be not God at all.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham talks about a miracle, and this is what I'm kind of leading into here, about Georgie Carter. How many knows the miracle? His sister, Georgie Carter, I think it was 9 years, sat in a bed, couldn't move. I mean, just pretty much bones laying there by the time Brother Branham got there. And Brother Branham had a vision of a little sheep being stuck down in Maytown. And he didn't know who it was. And after the Lord gave him, I believe, another vision that showed him, it's Georgie Carter. He said, she's going to get raised. All right? Now, most of us would think that the devil's smart enough to know if you got a vision that somebody's going to get healed and going to get raised up, that he'll just stay away and let you do it. Most people would think if you watched a man that was dead 4 days named Lazarus raise up, that people who saw that would recognize that that was probably God doing something. Yet the same people wanted him dead. It doesn't, see, sight, as I said before, is totally based on revelation, brother, sister. You can never see it unless you've given revelation from God. And how happy we ought to be to say, thank you, Lord, that I can see. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not blind. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not putting my hopes in something that's about to fall off. That I'm not putting my riches down here, but I'm setting them up there. I'm putting them out there in glory where the devil and the moth and rust can never corrupt it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Brother Branham talks about this in separation from unbelief. He says here not too long ago, I don't tell this for a joke, Paul, but it's no place for a joke, but for a point. A little woman had a son. She sent him away and he was called to be a minister. That's not the one I want to read. Let me come back to that. I'll read that in a second. It's Faith is a Sixth Sense, 1960. And I said, Georgie Carter, or Sister Georgie, the Lord Jesus Christ in whom you love. And there behind the bed, the little post, her bed, she had rubbed all the paint off of it. As long as she could get her hands back that way, holding on to that and crying to God for relief, and her church telling her the days of miracles is past. Just imagine the situation. And what does that come from? Listening to the king of Sodom one little time. And you get to this at the end. She was born to be a child of God. And there she was holding on to that promise. God, by His mercy, showed a vision and set me down there. That's where it was. I said, I know who you are now. You're the lamb that I saw caught up in a bunch of theology down there. Hallelujah. I said, Georgie, the Lord Jesus, who you love and serve, appeared to me up here on a hill a while ago in that same light that hung over the nail girl. And she told me, and he told me to come by this away. I command the devil in the name of Jesus Christ to leave you. I said, rise up on your feet. And we think that was it, right? Look what he says next. Satan said, how's she going to rise up and her legs no bigger than a broomstick handle? That wasn't a thought. Come up. It said, that wasn't a thought. Come up anyhow. And she couldn't even raise her sputterman cup. And she rose up from the bed under the power of the Holy Ghost, walked across the floor, praising God, and went out and sat down in the yard and blessed the grass and the leaves and things. Why? Even in that moment, that thought come. How's she going to stand? She even got legs. A broom handle is what a broomstick hardly. She even got legs of a broomstick. How's she going to stand? Many people think when I pray for people that, you know, just perfect faith all the time, don't never have no thought. No, the devil's right there. Here's the king of Salem right there telling you you're blessed, you're favorable, God's giving you the victory. And here comes the king of Sodom and says, oh, you know, it's just coincidence. You know, like I said, you just finally got a good night's rest, and that's why you feel good today. No, you feel good because the Holy Ghost got a hold of you. Yeah. Hallelujah. You feel good because power from on high has come down and changed you. You just denounce the devil, and you know what? That victory will stay. Yeah. Instead of victory, such a fleeting thing so many times. Can you recognize it's because of this? It's because God gives it to you, but you keep misplacing it, and then wonder why it just falls off the wayside. You've taken the riches God gave you, and you put them in coffers. Or not coffers, coffins. You need to put them in coffers. Coffers in heaven. Amen. Glory to God, where the devil can't touch it. Amen. If you ever get jealous of people's victory, this is the one thing you're doing wrong that they're doing right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it don't take much to sell out. And we talked about money and winning and popularity, and I've hit on it, but I want to really sink this down before we stop. The most hardest thing that the devil's going to try to put over on you to place this victory is in your own reasoning, your own logic, your own, well, it just makes sense. Brother, sister, when God does things that don't really make sense, if it makes sense to your carnal thinking, you missed it. When Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 and was a grandma now, hallelujah, she might look all right at 65, but we're done past that now. That's right, you go read the Bible. The promise was totally impossible. There was no logic to him having a son. He believed it anyhow. And it happened. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. It's the same with us in this day. It doesn't look like it makes sense. It doesn't look like it's going to fail. Many people will take the word and put it in such a way. I'm going to tell you what, if you go logically, I guarantee you can find someone who tell you that there is no rapture. And you go logically, you say, that makes perfect sense. And you'll find someone who says, well, of course there is one. You go look at it and say, well, that makes perfect sense. Just like I remember this wasn't too long ago, I had a student that I was going to school with. We were both students, but he said, I watched a moon landing conspiracy thing. And he says, when I got done, I was like, there ain't no way we landed on the moon. I said, and then I watched another one that says, why, proven we did land on the moon. I said, yeah, we landed on the moon. There ain't no doubt. He said, and then I realized how easy I am persuaded one way or another. And you know what I thought? We're all that way. As long as we stay in the regions of logic and reasoning, you've lost. You have to leave that. Sometimes, when you want to get healed, it's the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. When your shoulder's the thing hurting, this is the thing you're supposed to do. And all reasoning says, that's the last thing you want to do. But the word of the Lord says, I'm the Lord that inhabits the praise of my people. And the God that made this arm can sure make it again. Hallelujah. I had one time a minister come to me, and I'm talking about ministering theology and stuff because that's the traps of the devil, brother, sister. I hope you're not still trapped by alcohol and drugs and things like that. You ought to be a little bit further down the road than that. But the devil will attack you on theology, won't he? minister tell me, he said, there was one time a man had a voice thing or a voice box or something, and he said, the reason I didn't baptize him in water is because, you know, he can't get water in there. It could kill him. I said, well, what kind of faith you got to serve the Lord? And actually, I'd be all right with that. It might sound a little carnal, but I'm going to heaven. You might think I'm still stuck here, but I'm going to heaven, brother, sister. And he said, well, I just sprinkled him because I was afraid of that. And you know what? Logically, that makes perfect sense. You know, you might kill this guy. But then I recognize, wait a minute, logic goes a lot further than this. A revelation goes a lot further than logic is what I'm... Here's God commanded us to be baptized. And the word baptism, we need to just go, maybe we should just redefine it like what it means in English. What it means in English is to cover. Totally submerge. You can't change the meaning of that. That's what the word baptized means. I'm sure glad that's what it means. So when the Bible said I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't think I just get a little trickle here and there. No, I believe I'm swimming in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe, and I told him this, and I wasn't but 16, 17, maybe 18, 19, somewhere around there. And I said, I've got enough faith in the Lord that if that man was really ready to serve the Lord, I'd God take care of that.
Yes.
And it sounds crazy. Sure it does, but I'm not resting in logic. I'm resting on the promise of God.
Amen.
I had a brother not too long, I was actually at the boat shoot, came up to me, and I went to shake his hand and give him a hug and thanks. He says, oh brother, don't do it, I'm sick. I said, I got more faith than that. Give me your hand. He's like, no, bro, I'm serious. I'm sick. And I said, I don't care. Give me your hand. And he kept, and I said, no, I'm about to just grab it, man. Give it to me. Why? Because I don't believe in that, brother, sister. Many people are scared to take communion because they're afraid that the germs might pass from the cup to one of the other people. You have no faith if that's the case.
Amen.
You have none. I'm not even saying born. You have zero if you can't take communion in faith. This is something Jesus commanded us to do. And so was baptism. So was feet washing. That's right. So was the bread and the wine. And these are things that they're the sacraments that He told us to do. And those are actually the easiest things to do because we know we're doing right.
Amen.
Praise God. There's other things we might need to pray for and really get a real revelation. But those ones written black and white, or red and white actually. Go ahead and do them. That's right. You'll be just fine. But so you gotta leave reason. When it comes to divine healing, if you're approaching it reasoningly, with reason, you won't get healed. You won't, brother, sister. If the basis for you getting healed isn't the promise of God said I would be, then the devil will take it. If you start seeing victories and success, if you're not careful to keep the praise going to God, the devil pull the rug right out on you.
Amen.
And said, yep, I was just the king of Sodom, just giving you that one, you know, that one little free meal there. There you go. Not knowing that the whole time is to get you off the path.
Right.
And that's the only way the devil tempts us, brother, sister. You tell me one time the devil just popped up with horns on his head and everything and said, ha ha, I'm the devil. You know what you do? You'd run away scared. Instead, he puts on the suit, right? Hides the pitchfork, you know, gets it right in there, right where you can't see it. Why? Because he's waiting for you to turn your back.
Yes.
And then he's going to stab you right through. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Hallelujah. And actually, the devil don't even need a weapon anymore because he don't have any. Glory to God. He's lost them all. The only thing he can do is trick you.
Yeah.
So if he can get you on the right path, he can get you to take your own sword and run yourself through. He can get you to take the victory that God gave you and ruin your own testimony with it. Let me read you this as I close today. Enjoying the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what I was going to read earlier. Separation from Unbelief, 1955. Talking about the woman with the son that was going to the ministry. So she sent him away to school. The old mother, while he was gone, taking pneumonia and almost died. Sent for the son to stand by because they might call her. The doctor gave her up. So there's where your reason is going to leave you at. Doctor gave her up. A little old lady went to a mission down there. She heard about it. The Lord led her up there to come to and said, say, sister, our pastor prays for the sick. Won't you let him come up and pray for you? She said, why, yes, dear, I'd be glad. So he come up, laid hands on her, and prayed for her. Read Mark 16. Put his hands upon her, prayed for her, and the old woman was well the next morning. You show me the reasoning and logic in that statement. The doctors gave her up. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. But that guy's got a degree. I don't care. That guy knows what he's talking about. That guy's run tests. I don't have a test to run. That's all I can do. But I know where I'm basing that on. Mark 16. That's right. Hallelujah. And you would think anyone who adheres to any sort of Christianity would relish and praise the Lord for that. You would say, glory to God. That's beautiful. But let me show you what giving the victory to the devil will do, even if you think you're still serving the Lord. Let me keep reading now. It says, so she sent back, told her son that she was all right, wouldn't have to come home. So then about a year later, he come home for a visit. He said, Mother, I want to ask you. He said, what happened? He said, you sent for me to stand by. You wanted me to come home. You were dying with pneumonia. And the next morning, here come a letter or a telegram that I didn't have to come, that you are well. He said, what kind of a medicine did the doctor give you that changed it all at once? So the doctor said I was going to die. Hallelujah. She said, well, son, I want to tell you. She said, there's some people down here in the town, down in the low part, off down there in the slums, that's got a little mission. And said, a lady come up here and told me her pastor prayed for the sick. Said, honey, he come up here and read to me out of the Bible that there's people that's supposed to lay hands on the people when they were sick, and you know the Lord healed me. He said, oh, mother. Said, such is that. Why? Said, those people are illiterate. Said, they don't know no better. Said, why? Said, he was reading Mark 16. Said, yes. Why? Why? Said, we learned in the seminary that Mark 16 from the 9th verse on is not even inspired. Said, those people are illiterate. They just don't know no better. They don't know the word like we learned in the seminary. Little mother said, well, glory to God. He said, Mother, what? You're acting like them. Said, what's the matter with you? Said, I was just thinking, if God could heal me with uninspired word, what could he do if that was really inspired? Take you out there and put embalming fluid in you and take all the God that's ever in you out and learn your theology. Why? You can't know God by knowledge. It's impossible. You've got by grace are you saved, and that through faith. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you know Him. Not by all your shrewd word. That takes you away from God. More you know, more you study and try to find out about it, the less you know. Quit studying and figuring out and just let loose and believe.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where I want to close us at, is don't worry about Sodom. Don't worry about his riches. Don't worry about their glamour. Don't worry about none of that. Remember the one that gave you the victory, and go ahead and pay your tithes to him. Go ahead and give him your time. Give him your effort. Give him your life. Give him your heart. Give him your desires. Give him your soul. Give it all to him because he's worthy. Why? He's the one that got you through. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Just let loose of how you're going to do it and just say, Lord, I believe you.
Hallelujah.
I believe that I'm a son of Abraham. I believe I'm an inheritor of the earth. I believe I've been given dominion over the devil. And this devil's coming and made me sick. The devil's come in my house and wrecked it all up. And I just talking your natural things. I'm talking, he's got us all worked up. Can't have a smile in the house hardly no more. So there's something wrong right here, because I'm supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm just too dumb, but I'm just going to believe you anyways, that I got it.
Amen.
Well, I've received the Holy Ghost. It's in my heart. I don't need to go find it. I've got it. I'm going to give you praise because I can.
Amen.
Woo, glory. I put that on my Facebook this morning. I couldn't let that one go. Quit studying and figuring it out. And just let loose. See, that's another key part. Some people just want to believe and hold on to their doubt and all their theology and all their research, and they wonder why they're not getting nowhere.
Sure.
Let go of that. Well, and sometimes we do this with even the promises of God. I'm trying to close. I'll close on this thought. We do that with promises of God, because we'll say, well, Mark 16, it does say lay hands on sick to recover, but, you know, I mean, the one servant was healed just by the word, you know, and I can't remember the Roman centurion. He had a servant. Remember, and Jesus just said it, and he was healed. I think, well, maybe that's the way I'm supposed to do it. But the book of James says, if I'm sick, I should call the elders and have them pray over me and anoint me with oil. And maybe I just did the wrong one. And you know what you're doing? You're sitting there trying to figure it out. And you don't believe any of the promises anyways. Because if you believe the promise, you get it by inspiration. I believe that with all my heart. There's times for you to receive it sitting right there. That's right. You know why? Because sometimes God needs you to recognize it ain't the pastor did it in the first place. It's me, says the Lord. I'm the one that heals your infirmities. I'm the one that even gave the prophet a gift of healing. It wasn't Brother Branham did it. God did it.
Amen.
And God still does it. And God will always do it. There ain't no man can help no one, but praise God, God inhabits the hearts of His people and we can always find Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If God gives you inspiration, He gives you revelation to get anointed with oil, then do it.
Amen.
Well, I don't got faith like Brother so-and-so. They just received it there. It don't matter. Do what God told you.
Amen.
Abram wasn't worried about what Lot was doing. Hallelujah. He saw him in trouble, got him out of it, and said, I don't want nothing to do with Sodom. I saw that what that did to Lot. It's caused us a lot of problems. They said, oh, you're just a Baptist like us. He said, no, I'm not. Get away from me.
Amen.
Right? Come back to the denomination. Come where Lot's at. He's mayor and everything. You can be part of the group. He says, I don't want nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Right.
And I love denominational brothers just the same as anyone else. But I'm not staying on the same thing. I'm not going the same way. I love you. Look, I pray for you. I help you out. Praise God. I pray I can give them faith to get a healing. I'm all right with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Jesus said, if a man does a miracle in my name, don't rebuke it. He can't speak against me. He won't speak lightly in my name. But look, still, I'm in a different category. I believe I'm elected. I do. And that ain't just because I get healed. That ain't just because I feel good. I get all them things. Because I'm elected.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was one time a man thought he could buy these promises. Isn't that right? There was a man who saw the gift of God, just like here. Abraham, the king of Sodom, was trying to take the victory. That's what he was doing. You and I might think he was just trying to be a nice guy. Abram saw past that and saw the devil trying to take the victory. And there came another man one time named Simon the sorcerer. And Philip had just had a great revival, preaching the Holy Ghost, laid hands on those. They received it, baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God came down. It says many mighty miracles were done. And Simon the sorcerer used to be the guy everybody wanted miracles from. But now his denominational theology ran out. It only hit 30%. They saw something that was hitting
100%.
Glory to God. Yeah, Benny Hinn might do this. Anyway, I know someone when he said, thus say the Lord, that's what happened. So, there was a big difference there. Hallelujah. He watched from the side. The Bible says he believed it and got baptized and joined the church just like Judas did. That ain't nothing to do with it either yet. But why was he doing it the whole time? It was just, I want to be the big guy again. I'm tired of being on the side and I've recognized that what I did ain't going to work. So I'm going to have to kind of compromise with what I used to do. And and a lot of people did that when they came out of the denomination. They kind of took the message, mixed it together and said, well, this is all right. No, you get the same thing you had before. No, because you can't taint the word. You take it all or don't take any of it. That's right. And he comes to Peter and recognizes. He says, I've gotten baptized. I've done all the theology. But I can tell I still ain't got the Holy Ghost. I want to be able to lay hands on people and watch them get the Holy Ghost. I want to be a magician. I want to be a sorcerer. And that's how some people think you get the Holy Ghost. Like, I just have it and I just magically start touching people. That ain't nothing to do with it. There ain't no promise of that. You've got to believe it first. Now, once you believe it, sure, there's times where laying on hands is how you get it. Amen. That's right. But there ain't no promise for that. No, sir. And he says, look, I want the power. I don't got any faith, but I want the power. Be able to lay my hands on people and get the Holy Ghost. See, look, I got some gold here. Can I give you that? And look, this is a man who said a few chapters earlier, silver and gold have I none. All right? So I'm sure his flesh said, there you go. Retirement, new house, new car. You'll be all right. Just like Brother Man with that $1 million check. Could have thought and said, man, easy living the rest of my life. That'd be kind of nice. Are you willing to sell out your birthrights for a mess of pottage? And what did Peter tell him? He says, your money perishes with you. You're in the gall of bitterness. What? You're just straight jealous. Because you even think, I'm giving him the Holy Ghost. I ain't giving it to him. God's giving it to him. And you can't buy this with money. The only way you get this is to sell all that you have. To give it all up. Not to give it to me. Give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How? Out of a pure and undefiled heart. When God obeyed Abram, he had not one selfish motive in doing that. There wasn't nothing he was going to gain out of it. That's why God blessed him. Hallelujah! And God's looking for people who's willing to be vessels to say, Lord, I want the victory, but I don't just want it so I could just sit here and gloat about it and give credit to the devil and to my finances and to how smart I am. But I'm here because I want to give the victory to every heart I see. I want to bring glory to your kingdom. I want to watch the walls of the devil shake and break down and watch the walls of righteousness begin to build up in the hearts of people's lives. Hallelujah. Let's stand together today. Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Oh, I just want to give God the glory today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
brother, sister, you feel good today. I think we ought to give Him the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're free. You got a nice home. You got food. You got a job.
Praise
God. We ought to worship Him. We ought to thank Him for. Let's give all the glory to Jesus. I want to do a B-flat, Dad.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
It's a chorus 78 if you don't know it, but we'll give all the glory to Jesus. I'm about out of voice. I think that's the right key. Lord. B flat. Praise the Lord. We'll give all the glory. And bones. That same man that you see in the pictures, he's here. He He's still alive. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, wherever you might find yourself today, you find yourself on the wrong side. If you find yourself saying, well, I guess it's all right to give a little glory to them and portion it out, and you might have been that. I'm not asking you if you were that. I'm asking if you want to stay that way or not. If you're willing to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I gave the glory to anyone but you. And I want to say, Lord, forgive me and help me to be careful and give you the praise. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. That hand raised means a lot more than what you might think. Put faith behind it. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. Hallelujah. Just keep worshiping and praising him. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. God knows your hearts. Is there any Christian who would just say, Lord, I want to dedicate my heart afresh to the cause. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. To always give you the praise. To always give you the honor. To give you the glory. And brother, sister, that includes right now. Don't be ashamed to give him praise now. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. That's why you close your eyes. You've got to get to where you only see him. That's when you know you're really worshiping. That's when you know you're really giving praise with all your heart. When you recognize, I'm not worried about anything else. I see my Lord and Savior. I see the great Creator that became my Savior. I see the one who just helped me with 300 soldiers wipe out 5 kings. That I'm not giving nothing to the devil. I don't got no time for you, Satan. But I've met the King of Salem. And Abram could only naturally give tithes. But you can give your heart. You can give your soul anew, afresh. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, I ask you to surrender and receive it today. Hallelujah. A new life from on high. It's the only thing accepted before God. Not your life, but His life in you. Oh, hallelujah. God bless each one. Keep praying through. Keep giving and praise. That's why we came to church. Oh, hallelujah. That's deliverance. That's when you know you're free. But it wasn't some brother touched me. It wasn't some fancy feeling. It's just revelation struck me. And I know the devil's defeat. I see him laying on the ground dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, this is the time to receive. Don't wait till tomorrow. Receive it now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In this atmosphere of prayer, we're going to sing that again. Hallelujah. You feel free. Just keep on praising. Keep doing what the Lord tells you to. That's this is where the Holy Spirit takes control of service. I'm just His mouthpiece, but He's here already speaking now. Speaking into your hearts. If there's a need you'd like to have prayer for, I want you to come forward now. Happy to pray with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd rather have somebody pray too much than not enough, so don't be hesitant. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be His name. Blessed be His name. If He answered your prayer already, some of you did. I'll tell you, just praise Him for it. Just give Him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for taking that burden off me. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving me peace like I had all them years ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His name. Perfect faith. Now, you ought to be able to raise up no condemnation. If that condemnation is pulling you back down, there's still something that needs uncovered. King of Sodom still stuck some thread in somewhere. Need to get it back out. Any love for anything in this world, don't hold on to it. It's going to corrupt you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me pray with these brothers. Now as I lay my hands on my brother, you heal him with his headache and give you the praise for it. Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for you. Lord, I say thank you for his heart for serving you, Lord. And I pray you bless him. Keep him healthy and happy, Lord. May he always be a light in a dark place, Lord. Use this Lord for your glory. Praise, Lord Jesus, worthy, Lord. Lift my voice to you, Father. you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for good health. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you for believers of my precious faith. Thank you for the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, we give you the glory today, Lord. Is there anyone else you can come now? Hallelujah. 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 Then be careful and give him all the praise today. Hallelujah. Let's sing it with our hearts. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be his name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You convinced he loves you, brother, sister. You convinced he's the one that takes care of you day in, day out. Brother, sister, I know he loves us here. I know he does. I know he loves us. I know he takes care of us. I know he protects us, brother, sister. I was just thinking I wanted to share this to make sure. Some of you weren't here Wednesday night, but Wednesday night they had those tornadoes all over the place. And I heard on the radio, and I'll bring it home real quick here. I heard on the radio about Kokomo. How many knows that? At least 8. They said it's probably way more than that. And what I don't understand is how come nobody knew this was going to happen? Hallelujah. But when it's all done, it don't matter, brother, sister. Everyone that normally comes on Wednesday was here.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. And I understand things happen in life and circumstance. Don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to preach on that right now. But everybody came to church everybody's, I'm sure if your phone's like mine, just blowing up with stuff, you know, severe weather, tornado, hit shelter over and over and over again. My wife had a sister that texted and said, y'all hiding in your basement from the tornadoes about to come? And it's like, well, actually, we're getting in our van about ready to drive to church. And hallelujah. Many of you came here and we could have used our logic and done that. Right, but I look past that. I look past that, brother, sister. And sure enough, all of them unbelief. And it hits every one of us, don't it? I'm sure you had the thought of fear and we're going to die. And all. Yeah, because the devil talks to all of us. Yes, he does. I ain't paying him no attention. I ain't paying him no attention. I think my wife got a call. I went over there and turned the phone off. So I don't got no time for unbelief today. We're going to turn this stuff off. And as God is my witness, I stood right up there looking out that window. And inspiration struck me. And I said, tornado, turn north. Don't come this way. How many knows where that tornado ended up hitting?
North
side of town. And God is my witness. I didn't come. I said something about it on Wednesday, but I wanted to be very direct. I said, turn north. I thought later, you didn't have to get that close, Lord. You know, see a little bit more north than that. But it did. Right on the top of 66 somewhere, hit a few things. But what the mayor of Kokomo said, he said, even though we've had all these tornadoes and everything, he said, we have really no report of anybody getting hurt or killed. Said, and I, over the radio, he said, it's a miracle.
Yes.
Why do you think that happened, brother, sister? Is he still the master? Look, when we pray for things, I believe this. I just
Amen.
Do. I don't care if the tornado is coming right here. I believe I can pray and turn it away. It don't hurt nobody.
Yeah.
And I said, but it's the Lord in me. You understand that? And look, if you've received the Holy Ghost, you have the same opportunity for the same inspiration, for the same revelation, with the same power. Because God is no respecter of persons.
Exactly.
How many appreciates Him taking care of us, providing for us? And let's give Him another hand clap. Praise. Thank you, Lord. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As much as He protects us in natural life, I'm so much more happy He reached down and got a hold of my soul, brother, sister. And I want to sing about that before we go. It's a song. I got to find it now. If you don't know it, 133. It's got quite a few verses, but it's when He reached down for me. Hallelujah. We'll sing this as we go. Maybe not. Maybe we'll sing a few more. You got a little bit of time today? I feel like praising the Lord. I just do. I feel like worshiping the Lord. I just want to give Him praise all the time. I'm ready to just say praise the Lord for my shoes. Praise the Lord for my... I'm just grateful for the Lord Jesus today. Hallelujah. I'm about out of voice, Dad. I'm not going to lie. You don't have to know.
As my soul was astray from the
Yes, Lord.
But he takes care of you, provides for you, and he still loves you. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know it, 43 coming down. Jesus has a day.
That Jesus died.
with all my heart.
Jesus, they will feast the time.
Come on, give him praise now.
Come and buy the master call.
Sing that again. That's our promise.